Greetings in the name of Christ this wonderful Lord's Day morning. Our God loves to be with his children, just like we long to be with ours. And I trust that we will meet him today. I want his spirit to be here. I want his presence to be here. It is a dry church experience if we just have formality and no presence of God with us. We need his presence. We need to sense his presence. He dwells in the humble hearts. He dwells in those that have sought his face. Stand with me for prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you through Jesus this morning. We thank you so much that you are the one that has saved us, set us free, changed our lives, given us a new hope, a new way. God in heaven, I thank you this morning for saving souls. Thank you, Lord, for these dear ones that have found you this week. I pray for the safety of their spiritual walk, Lord. I ask that as they face the lion and the wolves, and as they face the serpent, O God in heaven, help them to flee to you, for you will take care of them. I pray, O God, that you would continue, Lord, to speak to us today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the truth. Thank you, Lord, for what you have shown to us. And this morning I pray again, O God, that you would come with your presence, Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Be here and just speak to our hearts. I ask that you would not allow that raven from hell to snatch seed away this morning. Lord Jesus, you don't want to feed him. You want to feed these brothers and sisters, friends that have come. And I pray that you would give me bread from heaven, bread of life, that I might feed them. Lord, I have no bread. You know me. You know who I am. And Lord, I come to you as nothing this morning, and I just give you all I have. You know the message that you've been asking me to share, Lord. I pray that you would give me, allow me, Lord, to be able to share this in a way that would honor you. Oh God, I pray that you would just take us deep, take us into the deep waters of God, launch us into depth, Lord, depth that we might not have experienced before, where we become even more holy, and Lord, where we are more sanctified and more cleansed and more clean. Oh God, burn out of our lives today that which is unholy, that which isn't true. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you. I ask now that you would bind the wicked spirits, demons and devils, and a hindering spirit. Don't allow them to be here. Give us peace and rest. We thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, a greeting in the name of Christ. It's wonderful to be here. I trust that God will speak to us as he has spoken to me, and will continue as I preach. I hardly ever preach that God doesn't deeply speak into my own heart. Deeply into my own heart. I've repented right here. I've repented before I came. The title of my message this morning is Deep Freedom Through Truth. Deep Freedom Through Truth. There has been a war declared on the saints. We read about that war in Revelation 12, and I won't take time this morning to go there. But there's a tremendous battle. Satan was in heaven. Lucifer was in heaven. And he was thrown out. We read about it. Michael fought against him. He was proud. And there was two things wrong. There's maybe many things wrong, but there's two distinct things wrong with our enemy. This dragon has two basic weapons that he uses. One is pride and the other one is lies. And those two weapons he has been using and against in this war against those that name the name of Christ. We read about the woman that was, he was trying to get her and the seed, and it says those that keep the commandments of God. Do you keep the commandments of God? Then there's a war. And this war, we want to look at just one phase or one part of this war. Deep freedom through truth. Is there freedom for us? Is there freedom? There's a lot of people that experience a certain level of freedom, but are they experiencing the freedom that is really available in Christ? Oh, that's what we need. We need freedom. I've been sitting with people, and I'll share a testimony here, a number of them. But I've been sitting with people, counseling, my wife and I, counseling, working with people, people that are distressed, people that are depressed, people that have a lot of struggles. And, you know, it seems like there is a certain distance that they can go, but then there is a certain block in their life. I want to share with you deep freedom through truth. John chapter 8. I want to look at a scripture here and then go to John 14. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You heard that many times. You could have shared that in memory with us this morning. But do you know what it is to have that level of freedom? To know truth is to help us to freedom. Again, not a new thought. But by the time this message is over, I want to take you a step deeper into what I believe God's word is saying here. So our answer lies to freedom, lies in truth. I think we could agree with that. If we know truth, truth will set us free. Truth will make us free. Truth about what? What is truth? Oh, everyone would tell us real quickly, truth is Jesus. Because let's flip over to John 14. What does it say here? John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, Thomas, he was a doubter. And Jesus told him, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Jesus is truth. Well, we all knew that. But there are some other things that are truth too. I'll share that later. But I want us to see, you know, we are a church that knows the way. We are a church that is, I think you would probably say that you are very clear on the way. We are clear on the way. We know the way. We know the truth. We are valiant for truth. We try to hold on to truth. But you know where we as an Anabaptist people often fail is, we fail, but where is life? We have the way. We have the truth. But you know, there's a lot of deadness. See, you can intellectually try to come up with the way. You can intellectually try to know what is truth. I'm not saying that you will find truth that way. However, we tend to use those exercises, intellectual exercises, to try to find the way and truth. But when you come to life, there's only one way to have life, and that is to connect with life. And that's what our people, we're an outreach church. The church before was an outreach church. And often, and I would try to always ask people, why are you coming? Why do you want to come to our congregation? Many times, and almost 100% of them say, we're looking for life. We're looking for life. You know, everyone that has a connection with Jesus Christ wants life. Well, here it is. But you know, we need to bring life. Now, Jesus was right at the end of his ministry here, John 14, and he knew something was going to happen, and he sensed the troubledness in his disciples. It starts out, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't be troubled. And then he goes on, he knew that he was going to leave in verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And then he said, "I'm going to pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," someone else. "I'm going to leave, but someone will come. And he shall abide with you forever." He's going to abide with you forever. That was the comfort that they got. But they knew, you know, it would be wonderful if Jesus would be living in Laetona. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I think you would be inundated with people. We'd all want to live with him. We'd all want to be where he is. I want to be in the church where he is. But he said, "I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you someone." Now, I want you to see here who that someone is, this comforter, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. It's not just the Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is a Spirit of truth. And what he brings to us is truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, one of the things that is happening in our society today, I want to look at truth. Our society is conditioning us to believe distortions and lies. And I think we need to be aware. You know, the big question today is, what is true? What is truth? I was at home, and my children came to me. They were quite young at that time. They came to me and they said, "Daddy, read us a story." Did you ever hear that, fathers and mothers? Oh, you know, now our grandchildren are saying that. Constantly, read us a story. And so went over to the bookshelf, and we got a book, and I sat on the sofa there. And one sat tight on this side. You know how they do, very tight. One sitting right here. I had one on my lap. And I got this story out, and they were big eyes, ready for the story. And I opened the book, and I started reading. And this is what it said. "I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow the house down." You don't have wolves here, do you, in this community? Do wolves huff and puff and blow houses down? You know, I was reading that, and the eyes were big, and they were, and you know, the Spirit of God smote my heart. That was not true, what I was telling my children. That was a story that wasn't true. Some of you know that story. But you know, the Spirit of God said, that is not true. And here I had these open ears and open hearts where Daddy was teaching them something that was not true. The Spirit of God smote me, and I said, you know, children, this is not true. Wolves don't do that. They don't blow houses down. You know what we need to do with this book? We need to take this book out, and we need to burn this book, because I'm telling you something that isn't true. Oh, you know, this morning we say, oh, but that's just a story. That's the problem. That's the problem. We are teaching our young ones to be confused about what is true and what is not true. It's our society. Well, I told the children we need to do that. We stopped the story right there. We took the book. We went over to our bookshelf, and you know what? I found a lot of stories there. You know, the pig says this. I've never heard a pig say anything. Did any of you? But you know what it did to those little hearts? It confused them about what is true and what is a lie. We went and took a bunch of books. Actually, by the time the children all, they had books, we carried them outside. I got the torch, and you know, we had a little Acts 19 meeting where we burned the books. We lit them, and you know, we prayed around there and asked God to forgive us for having things that are not true. What am I telling you this morning? Am I telling you you need to go home and look at your bookshelf? I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just sharing what God told me. I'm not going to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. But you know, that day God really showed me that our society is trying to get us to have distortions. There is a greater confusion in the Christian world today than I've seen in my life. Because we're not even sure what is. And when you look at the end times, you're going to find there's more deception always comes through distortions and lies. Not clear. I believe that saints need an accurate concept of lies and truth. I used to say things, and then I'd say right afterward, oh, I'm just kidding. You know what? God, as God continues to sanctify us and take us into the deep waters with God, it's amazing what God does in the cleansing work of our hearts and our minds. Oh, we need an accurate concept. What is truth? What is truth? Now, let me just share a couple things about truth. Truth is the most powerful force on earth. There is nothing more powerful than truth. Lies cannot change it or destroy it. Truth is dependable. It's absolute. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know that. Jesus established truth. Everything about him is true. His character is truth. He originated truth. His word is truth. He is yea and amen. And when he said it, it's finished. There is no reason to discuss what he said. It's in the light of trying to find out whether that's true. 1,000 lies can't change it. You know, sometimes there's people that say things that are not true about you. You don't have to go after that. The truth will always stand. And you know, 1,000 lies won't change it. People can think whatever they want to think. It won't change truth. Truth cannot be changed. Let me define truth in three ways for you here. Number one, truth is God. All he is, all he knows, all he does. His word is true. His word is an absolute. You know, the word of God is not a suggestion. It's not a guideline. The word of God is never a guideline. It's not a suggestion. It's an absolute truth. And we need to see it as true. It's true. It doesn't matter if I believe it. It doesn't matter if I am against it. It doesn't matter if I do it or if I don't do it. Truth will always stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away. How could this world pass away? I mean, we can't even. How would you go about to let this world pass away? But the word of God says heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word will never pass away. Will always stand. Will always stand. Truth will always stand. And so I think we need to be careful, and we need to understand some of the issues that our people face at times. I was in a discussion here not long ago, and some of the discussions about the Word of God. I know a church that was struggling with the issue of 1 Corinthians 11. And I appreciated what that minister said. He said, our issue is not the headship veiling, is not our issue. The issue is the authority of the Word of God. And you know, the issues that we have at times with the Word of God, it's really whether we believe that it's an absolute truth, or is it a guideline, or is it a suggestion. We must be straight on that concept in order to follow what is true. The second thing about truth is, truth are absolute facts. Truth is reality as it is, not how it seems. I'm leading you up to something that I want to share with you. Truth are absolute facts. You know, there are some people that probably think that I'm probably in the little church in Jackson, Ohio. I'm there in that church this morning. But you know, they would just think that's where I'm at. But you know, the fact is, I'm standing in Mount Joy Mennonite Church this morning, and this is the truth. Am I right? So truth are absolute facts. Absolute facts. Number three, truth is God's established knowing. It's what God knows about anything and everything. Truth is what he knows. You know, sometimes we have these ideas, but you know, it's the truth is what God knows. I'll share more about that. Now, I told you that the enemy, the devil, Satan, has two main weapons. We looked at the first weapon the first night. What is the first weapon? Pride in our hearts. He uses pride. If you take pride and lies out of the devil's kingdom, you would have a very empty kingdom. Because he either uses pride or he uses lies in almost all of his temptations. He's trying to... Well, let me just leave it there, lest I can't finish my message this morning. Satan, who originated lies? Who originated lies? Where do they come from? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we know truth comes from God. Turn with me back to John 8 again, where we were in the beginning. How do these lies come, and where do they come from? John 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? And verse 44, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Notice, there's no truth in the devil. There's no truth in his kingdom. There's no truth. There's no truth about him, or that he can originate. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. Satan is a liar. He's the one that fathered lies. He's the one that came up with the first lie. He's the one that originated lies. I believe Satan cannot speak the truth unless he borrows it. We see that. We see that when he came to Jesus to tempt him. He knew, he tried lies first. Jesus didn't budge. And then did he use truth? He said, the Bible says, God says. Now where did he get? See, he saw that he couldn't get Jesus with lies, so he went for truth. But where did he find it? He went back into the Word of God. What God said. See, he couldn't originate truth. He's a liar. The Bible says here, when he speaks, I believe he speaks lies without temptation. It's his character. It's just the way he is. I remember when I had my first devotional in the youth meeting, which was a Bible study. And when they asked me to have a devotional, I was 17 years old, and I never spoke in front of anyone. And this, I mean, publicly. And when I was asked to have a devotional there one evening, I remember the first thought that came to me was, I can't. That's what I heard. I can't. Okay. But you have to. When I was having the devotional, I heard another voice. That voice said, you're doing pretty good. And then I sat down after I was finished, and then I heard another voice. That voice said, that was a flop. But you know what? Came from the same kingdom. You can't, you're doing good, it's a flop. See, Satan lies in any way. He doesn't care how he lies. And you know, we must have a very accurate concept of this. Let me just quickly take you, if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10. I want to show you something that I believe is important for us to see. The platform for this battle of truth and lies is in our mind. Our thinking. Battles are won and lost in our thinking. Thinking is where we go right, and it is where we go wrong. Now, Satan's goal is to get us to believe and accept lies. Keep that in mind. That's what he's trying to do. Lies are beliefs, attitudes, expectations that don't fit facts or reality. There's few weapons that Satan has, but there's the most effective one, I believe, is lies. Let me ask you a question. Is all you think true? Is all you believe true? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's strongholds. There's seven strongholds in the Bible, and I cannot go there this morning. But one of those strongholds is a wrong view of truth. And when we believe or think what is not true, we are opening ourselves. There's a door that swings open to the evil one. Because where do lies come from? So if we don't think what is true, and there's many people that don't think only what is true. Now here it says, God can pull down those strongholds. We know that. A stronghold is a door left open in our lives. Here it says, casting down imaginations. And then it says, and every high thing. I want to just define that high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I told you that one of the points of what is truth is God, what God knows about something, right? what God's knowing. It's God's knowing. God knows that you're sitting in this church this morning. Some other people don't know that. So they may think you're at home. They may think you're somewhere else. But you know, the truth is, what does God know about this? What does God know about my situation? What does he know about this thing that we heard? Now here it says, every high thing. When I think not what God thinks about something, then I am taking my thinking above God's thinking. And that becomes the high thing. So here it says, we must cast down every high thing that exalts itself above God's knowing. Every view, every opinion, every thought that is different from what God knows. A little bit complicated. I'm going to bring this right down to a very practical way here in a moment. I want to look at imaginations. The word imagination is logomos in Greek. It's a reasoning that is not according to truth. When we don't think according to truth, we open our lives to Satan, to this liar. When my view is not based on facts, then I have a wrong view of truth. That's a wrong view. People that are thinking that I'm in the Stillwaters Mennonite Church of Jackson this morning have a wrong view of truth. So what they have to do is be careful how they think, right? Now, the foundation of a wrong view of truth is imagining. Building my life on perception. Let me illustrate to you. So last Sunday, you had a service here. You were here. You had a nice time. I don't know who preached. I don't know what was preached. You were here. And you had a nice time, and the time came that you needed to... Service was dismissed, and you were heading out. People were talking, and some were inside here, and you were had a nice time, and you were fellowshipping, and then you walked out through the door, and out there, just on the edge of that concrete there were two women standing there, and they were talking in low tones, kind of off the side a little bit. And when they saw you coming, their conversation ended. And you kind of walked closer, and they dismissed, and everything was over. I think that's kind of unique, isn't it? That just as you got close, they were finished talking, and they were in some serious discussion. Now let me ask you a question. Who were they talking about? Harry says, we don't know, and you're right. But you know what? Or maybe it's two brethren that were out there, and all of a sudden, you when you get close, it's finished. It's one of those conversations that ends when you got close. And you know what? We start thinking, what? They must have been talking about me, something that I did, something that, oh, and you know, we start thinking, what? What might that have been? Oh, you know what? You know, I've been seeing this one sister or this one brother has just not been quite so open to me. Or maybe I've felt that maybe they're kind of avoiding me a little bit. And there they were. I'm just sure it's something about me. So what is it? Oh, you know what? I set something at the sewing. Or, you know, that's probably what they're talking about. And you know, we go home and we start feeling bad. We start feeling terrible. We just don't appreciate that at all. And you know, I'm just so sorry. You know what I need to do is I need to go back and I need to just tell those sisters. But you know what? Maybe they weren't even talking about me. And so we don't go back, but we're sure they did. But we're not sure enough to go back and check it out. And that starts taking us down. Now we're building my life on imaginations. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, what I'm sharing with you is a very real experience in many churches. There's a lot of churches that have split and have had a lot of heart feelings and a lot of pain because of nothing that actually happened. Truth always has an element of freedom. And so we still feel that they were talking about me, but I'm not sure enough to go and check it out. And so I think about, that's what I think. And I start watching that those sisters or that those brothers or that brother. I watch him very close next time I come to church. And sure enough, just as I walked in, they went and sat down. Yeah, it's confirmed. But you know what? I still don't know. I'm only imagining. And when you imagine something, you can never take it for truth. Even if you think you're a good guesser, even if you think you're a good imaginer, it doesn't matter. When you don't know things to be absolute facts, you cannot keep that in your thinking. And that's why we go wrong, because we cannot do that. I had a girl that came to us at a youth conference. I was a speaker there and came to my wife. It was in a tent. Came to my wife and after the service said, I would like to talk to you. And she looked very troubled. She was come out of a bishop's home, and as far as I knew, everything was fine in that home. But you know, there she was. We went to the back room and tears were just running down her cheeks and dripping off and she was deeply troubled, and she was shaking, and she said, I'm just losing my mind. I don't know what's wrong, but I'm afraid I'm going to end up in the psychiatric ward. And we sat down, didn't know this girl real well, knew the parents and knew the family, and sat down with her and asked, well, what is wrong? She said, I don't know what's wrong. And you know, those of you that work with people and sit down and counsel, I've sat down many times, and I looked at them, I can't see the heart. I don't know what's in that heart. I don't know what's wrong with that heart. But my heart just went out to that girl, tears running down, and she's weeping and shaking and saying, I'm losing my mind. And you know what we did? My wife and I said, let's just pray. And we just prayed. And as we were praying, God showed me the message I'm preaching to you today. And this is what I asked her after we were finished. I said, sister, do you have a problem with imagining things? And she said, oh, maybe I do sometimes, but I don't think so. I don't think so. We kept digging. And I said, well, she was from quite a distance away. And we decided that we would meet every 2 weeks. I said, I want you to go home, and I want you to write on paper what you think. Those things that you think. And then we met again 2 weeks later. And here she came with 39 pages, big pages. Most of them were big legal pages of imaginations. Imaginations like this. She wrote down one of the first ones. I still have them, so I never went through them all. But one of the first ones that she said is when she went home, there was another sister that went home. And she said, I just knew that she was feeling, she was sitting there and she was, and this girl was driving. And she said, I just knew that she's thinking that I'm a poor driver. I said, sister, did she tell you that? And she said, no, she didn't, but I could just sense it. I could just sense that she felt that way. But I said, did she tell you? No, she didn't tell me. I said, sister, then you don't know. Well, but I can feel it. I can just feel it. And I said, you cannot believe that. See, what you are doing is you are believing what is a lie. You don't know that. And unless you know that, unless that girl comes and tells you, you know, you're a poor driver. Now you know the facts. Now you can believe what she said. But until you get there, you cannot believe it. And we kept on going. She came home. Another thing she wrote down, they came home. They had a church outdoor service. And when she pulled in there, there was a lot of men standing around there. And she had to drive up and back up. And she wrote down there, those men thought I was a poor backer. And I said, did they come and tell you that? No, they didn't tell me. But just the way they looked, I could see. I said, sister, this is the problem. You are building your life on imaginations. You are believing what you don't know to be true. And you can never do that. You must only build your life on what is truth. We worked with her. I told her, write this down and then we'll go through and we'll write a false, true, lie, truth. We worked with her for quite a number of months, and finally, there was not enough imaginations to write it down anymore. And God set her free. And you know what? That girl went from a shaking girl with deep emotional struggles. She went from that depth of emotional trauma to a beautiful child of God that today is now married and has a beautiful family. And she told me, I give you the right to share my story wherever you go. Maybe it'll help some others, because there's people sitting, and no doubt sitting under my voice this morning, that struggle with imaginations. Let me just tell you, you can never be emotionally and spiritually healthy if you believe imaginations. We can't go there. We can't go there. I could tell you some other stories. I had another guessing. We can never do that. You guess some things, but you can never take it as truth. I had a girl, another girl came to me. Actually, she was a young married woman. I don't counsel women by myself. So I had another person with me. And we were having this session at 2:00 that afternoon at her office. And me and this other brother were sitting there. And when she walked in, she was having anxiety attacks, panic attacks. Ended up in the emergency room a number of times. Let me tell you something about fear. I believe fear is often a wrong view. We fear. How many of your fears actually happen? But you know, fear is, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is faith in the wrong God. Fear is believing that this will happen. It's again believing lies. And that's why it has such a devastating effect on our spiritual life and on our life. It's a traumatic experience. Traumatic panic attacks. She went out there that morning, just north of our office. There was a four fatality accident, the worst that we had in East Holmes District. There were four people killed in that accident. Someone going up the road on US 62 and another vehicle coming down the other and head on and killed four people. And when she walked in, we started just small talk, and I said, have you heard about the accident up there in Bunker Hill? Oh, she said, yes, I did. And we saw that she was kind of on edge. And she said, yes. Yes, and I just knew it was my dad and my mom and my two sisters. She said, I knew because they were going to Canton, Ohio for the doctor, and my two sisters take my mom and dad up there. And I just knew it was them. And she said, I almost had my panic attack and ended up in the hospital. And I said, but was it true? I knew who was killed. And he said, well, no, it wasn't then. But I said, but why did you think that way? See, you cannot think that, and we started into our session. But, you know, that's what makes us sick. Now, my question to you is, are you only what you think today? Is it only what is true? Is it only what you believe? Do you only believe what is true? You know, until facts reveal it, we cannot think it and take it for truth. Imagined truth cannot be accepted, even if we imagine correct. Even if we guess right, we can still not take it until we know absolute facts. That's truth. Would you agree with me that absolute facts are truth? Not what I think. I was looking at all of you that were here this week. I was looking at you. I didn't know what I was seeing. I didn't know, were you saved? Were you not saved? I didn't know if you were close to God or far away from God. I could have thought, you know what, that brother, I'm not sure. That sister, no. I don't go there. I can't go there because I can only think what is true. If we could somehow change the way we think, see, if you think right, you'll go right. If you think wrong, you'll go wrong. And we have sat down with many people, and the problem in their emotional problems that they have is because they don't think right. They don't think right. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you think right, you'll go right. Why are people not saved? I tell you why they're not saved. They don't think right. If they would think right, they'd go right. If they would think right, they'd know who Jesus is, and they would find Jesus, and they would know that I'm going to be lost in hell someday, and I can't go to heaven. But, you know, they somehow think that maybe I'll still have some time. Is that true? We don't know that we have any time. We must only think what is true. There's a lot of people that are emotionally and spiritually unhealthy, all because they're eating from the devil's table of lies. And they're building their life on that which is not true. I don't know how you feel, brothers and sisters, brothers to brothers, sisters to sisters, and brothers and sisters together. I have not sensed anyone here that is against anyone here. But in a church this size, no doubt there's been some issues that at times you've had. Let me ask you the question, is what you think true about that brother? Or is what you think about that sister true? Is it really true? Don't build your life on perception or on guesses or on imagination. Only when you know truth. And you know, if everyone in this room this morning would only believe what is true, only what is true, we would have a wonderful church life. Because so I have a feeling about that brother that I don't think every one of you greeted me here yet. I don't think I've met all of you. I wonder if they don't like my preaching. Probably they don't. You know what? I don't think they do. No, I can't go there. See, it doesn't matter. I tried to preach what God wanted me to preach. And I'm just going to believe that you all like me until you come and tell me that you don't. I cannot go there. I don't know if this is clear to you. But let's think only what is true, and then we will have a healthy diet for us spiritually and emotionally. Very quickly, turn with me to 1 John 3. There's another issue, another whole message that could come in here, and I'm not planning to go there this morning. And that is understanding true and false guilt. There's a lot of very sensitive, sometimes I preach the message on oversensitive conscience. Some people are very sensitive. We need to be very sensitive. I think we should all be very sensitive to the Spirit of God. But the problem that people have when they struggle with false guilt, feeling that I'm not saved, and the next day they're saved, and then they're not saved, and then they don't know if they are, and then they struggle, and then they're depressed. You know what? The issue is truth. Come back to truth. I was in my young Christian experience. I was a struggler in false guilt. I would feel saved one day and lost the next. If I felt good, I thought I was saved. If I didn't feel good, I thought I was lost. I was in that seesaw for years. And that's why my heart goes out, especially to those two sisters that just found the Lord this week. I gave a book to the one that I want that will help her. It helped me out of my struggles. But my problem was I was not going back and finding truth. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. Now let me ask you, is that true? Is that truth? Well, so what do we do then? We just believe it. We accept it. Oh, yeah, but I don't feel. No, it doesn't matter how I feel. See, peace is not a feeling, it's a position. Sometimes it's my position with God. I am at peace with Him. Well, here it says in verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Now it says in verse 20, I want you to, if there's anyone here that struggles with not always being clear and sure about their relationship with God, I want you to see this verse. Verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now let me take that and amplify it like an amplified would. It would say it like this. If our feelings condemn us, God is greater than our feelings and knoweth absolutes. Doesn't matter how I feel. I had a wonderful feeling when I was converted, but I lost it and I thought I lost my salvation. And then I gained it again and I thought I was saved again. My feelings, our thinking should not be feeling or environment driven. It needs to be truth driven. Truth needs to be the foundation of our thinking. You know, there's only two foundations of thought. One is lies and the other one is truth. The only two foundations for thinking. Is it true? Is it a lie? Is it true? Is it false? I have barely 5 minutes here, and I am going to... You know, we believe a lot of lies, and that's very sad, because we dare not believe lies. Where do lies come from? Lies come from the devil. No good will come from my experience. Really? Is that true? What does the Bible say? All things work together for what? Good. To them that love God. Oh, so the truth is, it's going to be okay. God will take care of this. But I say, no good will come from this. You know, somehow in my experience, God has left me. We feel like God has left me. I'm not sure He cares about me. Is that true? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's truth. I don't know, brothers and sisters, if I'm coming through, but I want you to know that if we start thinking right, we're going to have a wonderful spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you believe lies, you're going to be at odds with your Savior, because He has truth and the devil has the lies. So we need to come back. In closing, I want to show you something. See, God only has one platform. So if you're looking at your life and there's problems in your life, go back. Find out what is true. And if the truth is that I am not living the way I should, well, then we need to repent. But it'll set you free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? It'll set us free. But we need to learn to not have distortions and lies that we believe. Very quickly, I was sitting, in closing, I was sitting with a sister. Me and another person were sitting with his sister. She was really depressed, was actually on medication because of her depression. And, you know, people said bipolar, schizophrenia. Those are all psychological labels. Let me tell you something. When you come back to your diet of only truth in how you think, it's amazing what you don't need anymore. I'm not saying that there's... At one time, I told people I will not counsel someone that is on medication. I think I was wrong. I felt that what medication often does is it numbs the senses, and it's hard to counsel someone. But, you know, sometimes we have thought wrong for so long that it has become such an integral part of our thinking process that we have gone down, down, down. And in order to bring that faculty back to a normal way of thinking, but the problem is we were thinking wrong, and that's what caused it. And that's where we need to come back. I was sitting there and trying to help this sister. And as I was sitting there, I felt the Lord just really showing me something, and I took my legal pad and I started writing, showing her a funnel and showing this to her. And that was the thing that really took her out of her depression, out of her difficult thinking pattern, and to freedom in Christ. And later she came to me and she put it on a computer and set it all up real nice, not like I had done it. And what I'm showing you is what she actually drew. And that's this. I thought about doing an overhead here, but I didn't know if that was an acceptable way to do things. I don't like to do overheads when I preach. But the biblical funnel, okay, what does it say in Philippians 4? It tells us in Philippians 4, well, what are we going to think then? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue or character, think those things. See, God doesn't let us just tell us, don't think this, don't think that, but he tells us how to think. And here's what we tend to do. We take our thoughts. Here is thoughts injected, and here is thoughts accepted. But when thoughts flash into our mind, we usually just grab them. That brother didn't. There's something wrong here. That brother, that sister, there's something wrong. We just grab the thought and take it and digest it. And that's why we get sick spiritually. What we need to do is whenever a thought comes, we need to stop the thought and bring it under the lordship of God's word. Now, what does the Lord say? Okay, here's a funnel. Thoughts come in here, but they have to go through these little screens here before they're accepted. And the first screen is it an absolute fact? That's where imaginations kick it out. No, I don't know it to be a fact. I think it is. I guess it is. I'm suspicious it is. And I've imagined that that's what it is, and I'm pretty good at imagining anymore. I tell you what, we get pretty good, but we're often wrong. Okay, so if it's not true, it kicks it out. And I think it's interesting that the Word of God, the first screen in the biblical funnel is truth. It'll kick many things out. But if it is true, well, okay, it is true. Now it goes down, is it honorable to think this? Well, let's say it makes it through there. Is it right? Is it just? It'll come through that. Yeah, that's actually how it is. Now we come down to the next one. It says, let me just read it here what it says. Is it pure? And then it says, is it lovely? You know what? If we would only think lovely thoughts, some of us are very negative thinkers. If it's only lovely thoughts, you know what? By the time it gets down here, we're going to have a wonderful diet of good food for our thinking. Maybe every refrigerator should have this sheet. And if you would like to have it. See, now we run all of our thinking as those thoughts flash. We run them through the funnel, biblical funnel, what God says how we should think. And if it doesn't kick it out, the different screens don't kick it out, and it makes it to the bottom, help yourself. Think it. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I trust that somehow we can start thinking right. And remember, if you forget everything else, remember, if you think right, you'll go right. If you think wrong, you'll go wrong. And in order to be healthy emotionally and spiritually, we need to think right. According to truth, let's have a clear line between distortions and lies and what is true. Kneel with me for prayer.